Andy, what's it like working with Howard for you, Howard Stern?
I don't see my morning man on even a monthly basis at this point.
In other words, it's great.
But the difference is now I get 4:30 wake-up calls, which is a West Coast phenomenon that is new to me. I used to see Howard about once every 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks when I was in Philadelphia. I would say I talk to him off the air now once, twice a week maybe, sometimes more, sometimes less. Howard really is, you know, a low-maintenance jock. He does what he does. You go to sleep at night knowing that you will have the premier air talent in America on the next morning, come hell or high water, and there's really nothing to do. And all you can really do is be part of the show as best as possible. After this last round of wake-up calls that I had, and those of you who live in L.A. probably heard them, and my girlfriend. After this last round of wake-up calls, somebody said, God, how can...
What did he do to you?
I just called and, you know, woke us up at home a couple times and, you know, started screaming at us at 4:30 in the morning, which is yeah, I mean, if you're totally asleep and out of it, not listening and don't know what's coming, it's a very bizarre moment.
Here's an example of a disc jockey talking to his program director on the air.
The first date that we could possibly do it...
Andy, it's not good enough. Get to work. Like,
I can't. It can't be done.
Andy, it's not good enough.
You know, when we did it in New York,
When you did it in New York, were you doing a whole show from down there?
All right, Andy. We did a show every day, Andy.
Andy, I'm going to replay the conversation that you had with me, okay?
Okay.
Because unbeknownst to you, I record every conversation I have.
You're talking to Richard Nixon.
Yeah, you're talking to Nixon.
You got tapes.
All right, listen. Are you going to be able to get a permit so that we can advance notice this? You would.
Yes, I can. Which is part of why when I go up and...
Don't you think the authorities will get nervous and cancel it if we pre-announce it? This is the conversation I had with him on that Friday, before our vacation.
Yes.
So tight with the city that it doesn't matter.
You think that the other station will try and have it canceled?
I already have permit in hand. They won't be able to stop.
I have permit in hand.
I have permit in hand.
Well, I was exaggerating a bit.
Oh,
you were.
The permit was already... We'd already had a meeting with the city.
The permit is in hand.
I'm so tight with the city.
We're tight with the city. The city will take good care of us. But there's three things here. We need permits, engineering, and a place to do a broadcast from.
All right. Place to get a broadcast from. I don't want to hear about May 12th. I don't want to hear about May 12th. I could be in Philly this Friday having my celebration.
Broadcast from a studio, for that matter.
Well, yeah, but...
Deny me!
But then you wouldn't be close to Rittenhouse Square, which is where the funeral is going to be.
All right, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully.
I know.
Who runs who here?
Go ahead.
I, repeat after me, I am
a
loser.
Loser.
All right, now...
So you can hang up from that, and is it like it's just showbiz?
Like, or? I said, once a week you throw yourself in front of the train, and somehow he manages to deal with my radio station on a pretty regular basis, whether it's in Philadelphia or in L.A., and that's just part of the game. And, you know, I mean, I've got pretty thick skin. That doesn't bother me at all.